Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Are you ready?
It's Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier.
Watch the Red Sox game and cheer on your team, man. Let's go.
Christian Fourier, I think he does a great job talking about the Red Sox.
Which recapping I find to be a boring exercise. The game's great. The Red Sox rolling. Awesome. There are no issues.
Those people should just admit they don't like baseball.
They should.
It's okay.
They should.
They're fun to watch.
That is fascinating talk right there.
With Glenn, Lou, and Christian.
Hashtag Red Sox.
You can listen to the middays. We'll talk about it. The afternoons, we'll talk about it. Or the middays, the afternoon, whatever is whatever.
Right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
I just went through this. List here of the. All these stories that Eamon has. There's some real stuff here that she's useless.
Who?
Just useless.
Who has it? Who?
Eamon has Eamon? All this
Who's
stuff.
Eamon? Oh, Eamon. I never missed Paul so much in my life.
Shaq Mason wants to play for the Patriots long term, but it will cost him. No kidding.
Let me see. Why are you going to make me grab another one?
What is the topic? Where do we run with that one? Let's run. Ooh. Let's throw that out there to the public. Hey, Shaq Mason wants to play with the Patriots long term, but it will cost him. What do you think?
I actually found one on this stack that I actually kind of like.
What is that?
This is kind of interesting.
See? Talking all that junk. Yeah, now you're going your life.
Why don't you wait and find out what it is before
Are you still doing trending? Because I hear the music. Are we still in trending?
I don't know. What's
the weather? Tell me what the weather is, weather boy.
I'll be honest
with you. What is the weather,
weather boy? I'm just trying to get to 2 o'clock.
What is the weather like? Look out the window. Listen, if you need us to tell you what the weather is, you have a problem.
Why are we doing weather?
Look out the window.
I don't care about the weather.
Hey, it's not raining.
Plus, here's the other thing. We broadcast all over New England. You know, they keep on boasting. We're everywhere. We're in Vermont. We're in Maine. We're in Rhode Island. There's different weather at different places, right? A lot of times, there's different weather where you live and where I live, and we don't live that far apart, right?
There's a great app called Dark Sky. If you get this app, it actually tells
you. That's how
you
live your life, isn't it?
No. It tells you. It's basically you have your own Doppler radar right there on your phone.
Let me try it.
Okay. It tells you. Do you have it, Alex?
No, I'm going to.
Oh, yeah. It's great.
It tells you exactly. And it is. And I would usually say this, it doesn't work because it's, you know, inconsistent, but almost to the T, right? Almost to the minute, sorry, the second, when it says it's going to rain, it rains. And then when it says it's not going to rain, it stops. So it's perfect. So, like, if you're out in the lake, if you're out on the beach, let's say you want to pull your, you know, pool cushions in because you don't want them to get wet, all you do is look at dark skies. It tells you, and it gives you, like, a 5-day forecast, and it's dead on. Or that you could swipe right, and it gives you a whole, like, global view of all weather patterns known to man. Very simple. Download it.
Dark
live by
sky
it.
Weather.
Dark sky.
It's not free. You got to spend $3.99.
It's like it's better than watching, you know, Dallas Rains. You don't have to watch Dallas Rains at 6. Hey, stay tuned. I'm going to tell you what the weather is.
I can get weather in so many different places. I'm going to drop $4 for an app. You know, the 99-cent ones, you don't care, right? You don't give a rat's ass. 99 cents. I don't care. $3.99. You better give me something.
Dark sky is worth it, though. It is. I'm telling you. Especially if you do a lot of things outdoors.
Yeah, I don't think I'm using your recommendation.
What are you talking about? Alex has it.
Stuff like this.
Alex, how awesome is it?
Alex is another.
Is it precise? Is it consistent?
It's like down to the decimal point on the longitude latitude where you are.
Yeah, it is. I don't really rep many things anymore, you know, for a bunch of different reasons. But this is one that I actually this is what I actually co-sign on.
I'm going to listen to an interim producer now who's throwing all
this
crap in front
of us. Why are you mocking Alex? Alex has been here for like at least a year, right?
Why did any one of you guys think that Fox will use the Skycam at MLB All-Star Game would be a talker on the show?
Young baseball demographic looking for new ways to experience the game, something different maybe.
Okay, you're fairly young. Do you give a rat's ass about a Skycam?
I do not give a rat's ass about a Skycam.
Okay, so then why, if you are one of the younger people that you think that we need to get the attention of, which makes some sense, I like your initiative, And you didn't think it made any sense for young people.
Whoa.
What the hell did you throw it in here for?
I like the Sky Cam personally. I think it's an interesting. Baseball needs to do like anything and everything to try and get the younger demographic.
See, this is one of the articles that I pulled up that I actually thought it's a very good segue. I didn't even have to tell you to do that. You just did it on your own. There's two articles. Well, actually, just the one. And I hate this guy with the passion. I only want to. Huh?
Who? Talking Sports.
Keith Olbermann.
Hey, hate Keith Olbermann.
I hate Keith. He
started, More than Kirk Minahan?
No, I like Kirk. We have an understanding.
Yeah. It's called a restraining order.
It's called. I must have read the wrong one. Yeah, my bad. Yeah. What's this about? I can't come within, 15 feet of him?
No, 50. 50.
Oh, 50. Oh, man, I think I'm dyslexic. Also.
He works good. He gets out of the studio like in 2.6 seconds now. There's no way that you're not fast enough. As good an athlete as you were, you're not fast enough to get into the studio as Kirk is trying to work his way out of here.
See, there's this whole, every year around this time, a couple things happen, and we'll get into this first one in a sec later on the show. Everybody declares Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers to go to the Super Bowl, and Aaron Rodgers will be the MVP. That every summer, before the season starts, that's one thing that happens. Still trying to force that down our throats, and people try to come up with ways to either fix baseball or fix the All-Star game. And Keith Olbermann attempts to go into it, and he kind of flirts with it a little bit, and he almost gets there, but then he stops. Okay, so he basically goes through a whole long list of how the All-Star game started and how the American League and the National League really hated each other.
They used to play two games.
It really meant something.
Imagine that, two games. They used to play two
games, right? So that was like a big deal. Yeah. But so, no, he ends up getting to his point by saying that Major League Baseball should basically just copy what NHL does. Copy what hockey does.
Skills competition.
It's just, stop trying to act like it's important. Like, they finally got rid of the rule where the winner of the All-Star game actually got home field advantage during the World Series. That would be was one of the dumbest things. See, my thing is, I hate any mid-season All-Star game, period, in any sport. I hate postseason All-Star games. But mid-season All-Star games are the biggest waste of time known to man. Nobody cares. And I will tell you this, despite what some of these guys say, none of them want to be there. You want a week off. It's basically your bye week, but yet you're forced to go out there and act like you care about the game and being there. Oh, it's about the kids and the fans. No, it doesn't. Get rid of it altogether. Here's a better idea. Have like a barbecue. Go to some I'm not kidding. Go to some island. Treat these guys. Honestly, the best thing about going to the Pro Bowl was not the Pro Bowl. Oh. The best thing about going to the Pro Bowl was you got a free trip for your family to Hawaii.
I don't think anybody cares.
That's
about
what it
a
was.
Barbecue, a free
no, but if
trip
you want to
Puerto
somehow
Rico.
Reward these guys,
stop it.
Send them to a private. Send them to Bora Bora. Bring your friends, bring your family. All expenses paid. We're gonna have a little barbecue, maybe a little raffle. We may play bingo.
No,
And then bingo? That's it. Take the week off.
Baseball demos.
Nobody wants to go. Stop trying to figure out and try to come up with ways how to fix baseball and fix the All-Star game. Nobody cares. And the one thing that gets people watching, the home run derby, none of the good hitters, at least the most popular ones, are even doing it.
No, they won't do it. And you can't blame them. There is a track record now of guys taking all of these swings at home run derby and affecting the second half of the season. And that goes back some years. I think Lou said this last week. If you're going to do anything with the home run derby, shorten it. Put some other events in the thing and shorten the thing down. And maybe you'll get some of the big stars to go and do it because they only have to take a few swings. So you get two rounds, and that's it.
Yeah.
Boom, four guys. Bam. Bang,
10 pitches.
That's it.
You get 10 pitches.
Take the four best players in the game, and you're going to go get through it in 40 minutes. Boom. It's
over.
I'll say,
let them hit off a tee. I'm not even kidding. Does it even matter?
Children.
So
yes,
what's the difference?
Matter.
What's the difference between someone,
difference.
One of your buddies, knowing exactly where to throw the ball right in your sweet spot? Okay, right. How fast is it going? 50 miles an hour, maybe? Put a gun on that thing. Might as well throw it underhand.
65.
Okay, some old guy. It's your dad. It's your brother. It's some old pitching coach.
Right.
He's hiding behind. Or take away the little protective fence.
No, you don't
take
that.
Away that.
That's some protection.
Let them get
for
hit.
The guys. No,
don't throw some
get hit. Then you got the taking them off in a.
Yeah, I would say, and that's it.
I'm with you. I have no problem with all of this. I have no problem with getting rid of any of these All-Star games because to me, I hardly watch them. And I do it only because I have the job. right? And there's nothing else going on, so I will watch Home Run Derby tonight, and I won't be thrilled about it. And then I'll watch the game tomorrow, the All-Star game tomorrow, because we have to, because we're sitting here talking about it. Most of the public is going to totally ignore it. It's an exhibition game. Think about
it's not.
How stupid it was for Major League Baseball for, what, 2, 3, 4 years? They actually tried to make it count, in which it gave you home field advantage.
That's a joke.
The league in a World Series. Like, a player on any team in the American League is rallying around. They're patriotic to the American League, and we're going to go win this game for one of our brothers in the American League.
Yeah, and what
so
if you're
stupid?
What if you're on one of those teams that suck, and you're not, your team's not going anywhere? What do you care?
You know,
you're going to be on vacation. You're going to be like late. You're not even going to watch the World Series.
Yeah.
So you watch for what? For, I guess, just because there's nothing else on. Or you want to hear Chris Berman, right? And who's not
he's
even
gone.
Doing anymore.
He's
Chris,
gone. He's,
well, they used to bring it back. They not who's doing it this year?
I think ESPN's doing the Home Run Derby tonight. Fox has the game tomorrow night, right? Is that right?
Yeah. I think maybe Matt Vasgersian will be the Sunday night crew. Maybe he'll do the Home Run
Derby. So Mendoza?
Oh,
maybe, as she did last year.
Oh, but she had some good sound. Jessica Mendoza had some good, you know, like really groundbreaking calls, right?
Now watching, I mean, you've watched him in BP, you've watched him in games. If you see him picking it up a notch right now, anything that he's doing different tonight than you've seen even all season.
Now go!
Go! 440!
Go!
That's got to go 440.
30 more seconds,
just
30 more seconds.
Got it! He did it with 5 seconds to go!
Wow, it's going to suck tonight.
Bomb!
I hate to say
hey,
it.
To
I
horn.
Say it. I,
the horn's cool.
I kinda,
we have that horn.
I kind of miss.
I'd rather have Chris Berman. The fact that he kept his, he didn't lose his voice, but he did at the end. So I agree with you. It's the fact is that
they're
it's not
get, you know why they're not going to get rid of it.
It's
they're not
going to
get rid of
money,
it.
Money, blah, blah, blah. Somebody's going to get a truck.
So they could get ratings that are absolutely nothing. I think the Pro Bowl last year, didn't the Pro Bowl do like 13 million?
No, but it rates. The Pro Bowl, people actually watch the Pro Bowl.
I don't understand that. Why would you
do.
Watch the Pro Bowl?
We compare the ratings every year.
And by the way, it's the most foolish of them all. The one thing you could say about the baseball All-Star game is the game really doesn't change. You have the pitchers who are throwing, who are trying to get the guy out, and the guy is hitting the ball. The football one, you don't touch anybody. You don't hurt anybody. If you're going to tackle somebody, you do it gently. I'm bringing him down. You don't do any of the normal things that you do
you
in a football
game. See, the
game.
Thing, that's you contradict yourself. It's like you can't bring anyone down. You can't tackle without giving your all. That's the problem. The football, the Pro Bowl is the dumbest.
You think guys
hands
block?
Down.
No,
but the offensive
linemen stuff.
Don't. But the guys that get screwed in the Pro Bowl are the safeties and the corners and the linebackers. Because
right.
The D-line, they're not holding anybody up. Nobody's going to arm tackle anybody and like knock their shoulder out of their socket. Nobody wants to do that. So if you don't want everyone to score a touchdown, you have to somehow – you know, commit to tackling this guy who's got the advantage.
Christian, all of these leagues realize that it's a dying thing. Okay, these old All-Star games, these exhibition games, that the public is bored with them. So they try all these different gimmicks, and so that's all that what's his name, Keith Olbermann, your buddy. That's all he's doing. He's coming up with more gimmicks. So the NHL has done Us Against the World. Remember that one? And then we have another one where we get two old-timers to come out there and pick their own teams. And we got the who was it, the Michael Irvin team or the
Deion Sanders.
With Deion Sanders.
Or Jerry Rice, one of those guys.
Foolish. Yeah. All of it foolish. All you're doing is you're seeing if you can, you know, come up with a little wrinkle that maybe will get the public to give you a little tick in the viewership. None of it
but
works.
But what is
None
wrong
of it works.
With just giving the players the time off? You're sitting here and you're talking about how there's not enough getaway days.
Because they can't have downtime.
There's no downtime.
The NHL has proven this in the past. The NHL had problems when they would take the Olympic break. That's why they got rid of the Olympic break and didn't allow the NHL players to go.
That wasn't 4 days. That was way too
long. Yeah.
That was ridiculous. Right.
But what ends up happening when you do that is suddenly NHL hockey goes off the TV set. Major League Baseball goes off the TV set. And people start, they forget the habit and they get away from it. And they're in the summertime. There are other things to do. You can't just say we're not going to do it. You've got to have some type of marketing, even if you're not appealing to enough people. You got to keep the boat rolling. But I'm with you. I don't think there is a solution. When people say, I got the solution, I got the answer, you BS.
I do think if they want to get some of these more popular hitters into the Home Run Derby, because, you know, really to make it more viewable or make it an actual competition. It's like the same way why the dunk contest used to be awesome in the 80s, because all the great players like entered the dunk contest, the 3-point contest. You had to watch the dunk contest. And now nobody cares. It's gotten a little bit better, but if you really want these guys, so you got to make it possible for them to play in it, but yet not be screwed like Aaron Judge was last year.
You know what to do? Do a real dunk contest. You know, with the little
trampolines.
No, you have the.
You ever seen that?
The tank. You bring the tank out there and you drop.
How about this?
They do a celebrity. They'll do a celebrity game. Is it tonight? They'll do a celebrity softball game.
Yeah, they
game
played it yesterday. They usually air it right after the Derby.
Okay, so they'll play this celebrity game or whatever. And most of them are grade B, grade C celebrities. And it's always that, you know, Kevin Hart does it with the NBA. The guy's like 4 feet, 10 yeah. inches tall, and he's able to do all these things, and he's great and he's terrific. Wouldn't it be better if you had the baseball thing tonight, you have like celebrities like Roseanne, and you allow other celebrities to throw at her?
You're just being mean.
What do you mean?
I'm talking about serious changes that are possible.
How does that mean?
What do you mean? You're going to throw baseballs at a woman?
Well,
Me too.
I didn't look at the gender.
You don't see her as a woman.
No, that we... okay. Kevin Spacey. We throw him out there and you throw at him. How's that?
I'm not
applying it to gender.
Why don't we just throw them in a tank of, hungry, sharks or bears and see if they can get out alive?
Not a bad idea.
But my idea,
I don't think
actually,
Peter would allow that. Though,
actually,
would they?
Works like bad it's an actual it's a solution that they can actually do. Like, this is possible. Hit off. What's wrong with hitting off a tee? Right. Who cares? Everyone just wants to see you hit the ball, anyways. So they get 4 minutes. 4 minutes to sit there and hit as many home runs as they want, as they can. And they have a 45-second timeout.
I'm with you. I don't think there's anything they could do to make this thing better than what it is right now. So I'll say, to use a quote from a famous coach, it is what it is. And you just have to understand that it's never going to get any better. It's never going to have more importance to it. It probably will have less importance as we go on from year to year. All right, 617-779-7937. That is our phone number. OMF Lou is off this week.
A family-friendly midday show.
You
all right?
I'm waiting for you to make a legitimate point.
Shut up.
You haven't made a legitimate point.
Stab you in your throat and let you bleed out.
Keep your guard up. It's Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI.
All right, back here on OMF, 617-779-7937. It is the worst week of the year.
The best week.
It's the worst.
Bachelor's
Sports
tonight.
Sports Talk Radio.
My problem is...
Do I have to watch that tonight?
You know, what do you think is going to be more? It's the parent weekend. She goes and visits all the Bachelor's parents. Gets to meet them, and they all say, I don't approve, and this is too quick, and you young whippersnapper.
So you already know what's going to happen because it's, like, so predictable, right?
Yeah, no, I've called the winner, I guess I'll call it a winner, of the Bachelor / Bachelorette, like, 3 out of the last, 5 years.
An accomplishment in life.
I mean, I wish I had as much success picking games.
Because you don't know anything about the game.
No, you know what? Here's the problem with picking games. You overanalyze it.
Yeah.
People overanalyze it. Oh, third down conversion. Oh, you know, this pitcher. Oh, whatever.
So you don't do that with a Bachelor.
See it, bam, and I make a decision. I don't waffle on it whatsoever, and I'm always right.
Dude's a loser.
No, if I don't pick the winner, I pick the final two, and that's... No. That's yes, I'm tooting my own horn.
It's pretty good. That's like picking, the Patriots and the Green Bay Packers in the Super Bowl, right?
Beginning
of the season.
Here we go again.
Let me go to Brock in Middleborough. What's up, Brock?
Hey, how's it going?
How are you?
Two things we can agree on. This week is useless for baseball, and baseball has an image issue, correct?
Yes. Both of those things are true.
Wouldn't this be the perfect week to scrap the All-Star Week, rebranded something like, you know, Outreach Week, Charity Week, have wiffle ball tournaments, get Mookie Betts out there bowling with giant inflatable pins with kids or something like that. Have a cookout with local businesses involved like Pedro did.
You're trying too hard.
Wouldn't this be the perfect week to do something like that?
No, because to me...
The same old
No, what you're doing, Brock, is you're basically pushing them out front, even though most of these guys already do charity work as it is. They have foundations, and they do stuff. What you're basically doing is you're sitting here, give me a crock of bull. You're basically saying, hey, all we care about is charities. You really going to believe that or buy that?
Well, even if it's not charity, dude, just do like a, you know, wiffle ball tournament.
Yeah, over the line.
Stupid, somebody will get hurt.
Stupid things like that. I mean, anything's better than the All-Star break that everyone agrees is pointless, and everyone also agrees that baseball has trouble marketing its stars and things
they
like
do.
That.
They do have trouble marketing their stars. And you know what? They won't do a great job of marketing them this week either, which is...
You know what I think they should do? Thank you, Brock. The old school version of Battle of the Network Stars. Remember that?
I do remember that.
Right? Yeah. Can you get a little bit of a taste of that?
Not on foot nor horseback, but by jet and limousine, as befitted their station. They came girding for battle to hurl themselves against one another in mortal combat.
This is the opening?
For victory at any cost.
Okay, Battle of the Network Stars. But here's what.
That would die today.
Too. No. So remember Battle of the Network, the old school version, not the redo that they did like last year.
Right.
So like it was like
the reboot.
Remember it was like, you know, terrible. Mike Greenberg was your host. Okay, that should tell you something right then and there. Like a rowboat race. Remember that? So someone would always end up going in a circle because they didn't know how to do a rowboat. There was like a shooting contest. There was a 40-yard contest. There was a bike race. They actually had a bike race. And then they always end it with the obstacle course, right? They have to jump over the hurdles, jump over like a big wall. Treat it like, you know, American Ninja Warrior. That, I would actually prefer that. Give me something. Let me see these guys fall in a big vat of like green goo, like like Nickelodeon or something like that. It would be more entertaining. You want personality? You want a way to market your stars? Do it that way. Yes. I mean, if we're going to go all in on changing this thing, then why not? Everything is on the table. Give me your ideas.
See, I can't do this already. We're almost two hours into the program, and this is what we're going to try to do.
We're going to try to change
an event that nobody gives a rat's ass about to begin with.
The fact is,
we're going to get calls.
Oh, yeah.
Keith Olbermann writes a big, huge story. The calls are lighting up right now. Look at them. They're loading.
I got an idea.
I can change the game, you know? And they're going off some of the stuff that you said, and they're coming up with something more. Who cares? The event sucks. We don't need an all-star game. We don't need any alternative all-star games. We don't need any, you know, skills competition. They do the skills competition this year. Change it up. People are going to say, well, that was interesting. And then by next year, we're going to be bored with it. I would rather go with Shaq Mason wants to play with the Patriots long-term.
I'm going to put my hand in. Hold on. Let me grab one more.
Which way are you going?
Hold on. Let me get it. Here's another one. This one is from Alex Reamer. All right. Isaiah Thomas's dramatic fall firmly validates Danny Ainge is a cold-hearted approach. Actually, this, you know, yeah. Good to see Alex back in the mix, by the way.
Yeah.
Just saying. Right. poor Isaiah Thomas.
We talked about this
poor
last week.
Poor Isaiah Thomas.
There is no professional athlete that I could come up with, and maybe somebody can, who got porked more than this guy did when really most of it was none of his own fault. This guy was on top of the world. This guy had people showing up close to 20,000 nightly at the TD Garden chanting MVP when he had no shot to win MVP.
Nowhere
close to MVP. He was good. He was their best guy, but he wasn't MVP. And he was on the verge of getting either this team or another team to give him close to, if not maximum, dollars. And instead, he's going to play off the bench for 1 year in Denver for minimum salary. We were debating a year and a half ago whether he's a max contract guy. If I had come on the air that day and said, not only do I not think he's a max contract guy, I think he will end up as a minimum contract guy, I would have been laughed off.
There's got to be two things that are going against him. The obvious is it's his size.
He's short.
Okay, he's a little guy.
Did you notice he's short?
But he's productive, okay, in the right system where he basically just does everything. But I think at this point in time, based on all the teams that he's playing on, it's got to be an attitude issue with him. At some point in time, you have to look at him and say, he's part of the problem.
I don't think he is.
But usually, wouldn't you say, when a guy plays for as many teams as he's played for and has actually showed that, hey, listen, he can do it. He proved. He does what most players take a lifetime to do. He showed up in the biggest stage that he could possibly play in, right, in the playoffs. And he delivered. I mean, think about it. He played hurt. He played great after with an emotional distress. Sister,
right.
He basically played with no help.
Right.
So, okay, what's the problem then, everybody? Why can't he find a team to commit to him long term? Why? So he goes to Cleveland. Was it injury related or was it personality related? My point is, at some point in time, he's the problem.
He's not the problem.
So what is it?
Yeah,
so
totally he just disagree oh, they, people. He's not the problem.
So then, what is it then?
Well, his stature, size, obviously, is an issue.
Irrelevant.
It's not
irrelevant.
No, it's not irrelevant.
Wait, hold on.
It's not irrelevant.
MVP. You saw what he did in the playoffs, right? The
yes.
Guy played, he broke his jaw. Broke his jaw. So you're telling me. So to me, size, it's irrelevant. It doesn't matter
size
anymore.
Is not, size
he
is
has
a big
shown.
Part.
No, no. What do you mean? He is a little guy playing amongst a bunch of giants, but he has shown that it doesn't matter. Did you say he was pretty freaking awesome in the playoffs? Was he awesome? Was he great?
But do you think attitude is a problem? Because he's cocky, because he's undersized.
No.
He's listed as 5'9". He's not 5'9". I've stood next to him, not 5'9". So it's even more amazing when teams look at him and say, oh, my God, he's so little. But there's limits because of his size. Teams know this. But this whole idea now that it's all on him, Remus article takes the opposite view, and that is that Danny is just cold-hearted and looked at it and said, I don't care how emotional, I'm not going to get emotionally involved in it. Danny saw a way of getting a better player who was younger, who could do more, and by the way, is a little bit taller. Matter of fact, he's quite a bit taller. It was all Danny looking at it saying, I'm not going to play the sentimentality game. I'm not going to sit here and hug the little guy.
I get it, but again, you... At some point in time, if you have the right attitude, the right personality, the team first, blah, blah, blah.
He's got a great personality.
All the cliches.
I think all of that
stuff.
Okay. He's really good. We loved him here. Everybody loved him.
He was the only option.
Did anybody, when he was playing here?
He had complete and utter control of everything. The offense went through him.
Went through Brad. Everybody talks about Brad. Wait a minute. I thought Brad was the greatest coach in the history of mankind. That Brad,
I'm not saying,
it's Brad's team.
I'm not saying that it's a definite, okay, like he's a cancer, because I don't think
players
I would go that far.
The other players loved him.
Hold on. All I'm throwing on the table for you, you can eat and chew and partake if you like. At some point in time, you have to look at the player. Why doesn't he have staying power? Because he's a good player.
But
I'm
wait
not
a minute.
Say great.
But
hold on. But at some point in time, if no one's willing to commit to him long term, okay, is you want to leave injury? Is there injury issues on the table?
But you're putting everything out on the table from day one, starting with Sacramento and then Phoenix. You can't do that. So he was an undersized player who was an offensive machine coming off the bench who wanted to be a starter. He wanted to be part of that starting team. Sacramento wasn't going along with it. Then he goes to Phoenix. And same thing happened, and Phoenix didn't go along with it. Phoenix looked like total fools. When Ryan McDonough does that deal with Danny Ainge, was he involved in that deal? I'm trying to remember if McDonough was involved. I think he was. So they do that deal, and he looks like a fool. Phoenix looks like a total fool in making that deal because Isaiah Thomas suddenly develops as a second-team All-NBA player. All right? That was all because this kid took his game to the next level. Couldn't do it in Sacramento. A lot of that was probably the personnel around him, maybe the coaching staff. Same thing in Phoenix. And then
Young enough where you give him a pass.
Yeah, so I remember everybody praising Danny Ainge. Oh, my God, he found a diamond in the rough in this young kid. Then Brad Stevens did an unbelievable job of getting this kid to play at this high level and running the offense to him. So we heard all of this stuff. Then what happened was the hip injury. Hip injury changed everything. And what also changed was Danny Ainge looking at it, never satisfied. And if anybody thinks that Danny Ainge is going to be satisfied to be the best team in the Eastern Conference, you're crazy.
Okay,
he will pull the trigger on another deal if
he
finds a player. That's
okay,
all.
Fine.
That's
okay.
all. But that's
no,
all
okay.
he's a victim of.
Okay, so I'll give you Sacramento and I'll give you Phoenix. Okay, I agree with that point. But since he left the Celtics, okay, within a year's time, he's going to be playing on three teams.
So you go
to Cleveland, and what happens? What happens?
But a weird set of circumstances.
Okay, so, okay, fine. But eventually, you got to put that behind you and start, you know, looking ahead and think, okay, different set of circumstances, new ownership, new team, new roster. Like, you starting fresh again. Goes to the Lakers. You don't think they can need him with the Lakers, or is it because LeBron James is there
right. And
they don't want him?
Right.
So he left such a crappy impression on the Lakers that they decide, you know what, we don't need you. Okay, so now he's with the Denver Nuggets. So you've played on three teams, I'll call it four, inside what, 26 months?
Yeah.
27 months?
Yeah.
I get the set of circumstances, but you won't even allow yourself to look at that and say, you know what, maybe he needs to change his attitude a little bit? Or is it all somebody else's fault? He's just a victim.
Because we've never heard stories.
Yeah, in Cleveland you did.
Where he's been an attitude
guy. No, you did in Cleveland. No, we did.
We heard that he was trying. Well, that was,
you know,
team was here. A team was a mess at the time.
This is before they traded everybody
right.
away now.
Right.
So everybody
team was a mess.
No, they weren't a mess.
Right. No, they were a mess.
Their roster was they were dealing with the same players.
No, there were questions about Kevin Love practicing,
but,
if you remember. But that's what the story was.
But you're
saying Kevin
it was
Love
a mess.
Denied,
it wasn't a
said
mess.
It wasn't true. Oh, they were a mess.
So he comes in and he rocks the boat. He starts calling out guys who have won championships and have established themselves, and he thinks he's king ding-a-ling.
He's not calling out LeBron. He was not calling out LeBron. Come on.
Okay, but he called it what? So Kevin Love is fair play? Fair game for Kevin Love?
No, Kevin Love disputes
like
that.
Chump?
Kevin Love claims that
nothing
really
was ever
did,
said.
Right. That did not happen. He claimed that did not happen. Isaiah denied that, and then Kevin Love later denied it.
I think it's fair to at least consider the fact that he could be part of the problem. Listen, I mean, some guys just
in
listen.
His attitude that he's
yes.
part of the problem.
Yes.
Then why aren't we hearing that story? Why isn't that playing out? To all
Isaiah,
this? It's not playing
Isaiah,
out.
Isaiah, you want to play? Will you come off the bench? A great attitude. Will you be a sixth man? You win.
Right.
No, I'm a starter. Right. You don't think that's part of the issue?
Okay, we'll throw it on the table. No, my feeling is, and I said it the other day, and I'll repeat it again today. I don't think any athlete has ever got porked, lost more money in a matter of in
Sucks.
A shorter frame time frame. Then this guy
hot off
did
the presses.
In,
we got another article.
Okay.
Another article. Hot off the presses. Can I add this to my list? Can we grab bag it?
No, this is good. You want to go? August 23rd, 2017.
Tell you read it afterwards. Tease it. Oh, this is old.
It's August 23rd, 2017.
Why are you bringing this in here?
Because that's what they
do. It backs up your point, Christian, that this was an issue.
God. Hey,
Don't you ever want to get interim taken off your title?
Don't you ever want to have that happen? How many steps do you run around during the show printing stuff? How far away is the printer?
It's like, I don't know, 50 feet?
How fast do you think if you press print, how quickly do you think you could get there and back?
I kind of just tested myself on that last one.
Wait, why not use the one that's right by your feet?
The printer broken. 40-yard dash we're going to do now. This is ridiculous. God. All right. We get to the phone calls. Coming up next, 617-779-7937.
Back to more of Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI.
The idea that you don't care that LeBron is on the other side, no one believes it. And it would be idiotic not to care. If LeBron wasn't there last year, you go to the finals. He's knocked Danny Ainge's teams out of the playoffs five times. There's no team that LeBron has knocked out in the playoffs more in these last 8 years than the Boston Celtics. It's ridiculous. Like, he's not telling the truth here. They spend so many resources in trying to find a guy to check LeBron. You build your roster to get through your conference, your biggest rival, and then if you get to the championship, you play it out. It's only once you're at the top of your conference do you start building your roster to beat the Warriors. They are now in a position where, to win a championship, you only have to beat LeBron or the Warriors. Not both of them.
That's Nick Wright on FS1. He's got this all figured out. Danny Ainge is a liar. And I would say I agree, Nick. Okay? He's a liar. He's not telling you the truth. And the reason he's not telling you the truth is it's not in his best interest to sit there and say, greatest day of my life. LeBron James went to the Western Conference. Are you kidding me? We are going to have just a cakewalk to those NBA finals. Pencil us in. Not, screw it. Take it to Penn. Put it in Penn. We're going to be there in the finals next year, the year after, the year after, the year after that, because there's no LeBron here. How foolish would he sound if he sat there and said, oh, yeah, we feel a lot better without LeBron? How do you think that plays in Toronto? How do you think it plays in Milwaukee? How do you think it plays in Philadelphia? Are you kidding me? Of course he's lying That's what they do. They lie.
Is Jaylen Brown lying?
Yes.
See, no, I don't think he is.
What do you mean he's not lying? Of course he's lying.
Listen, Eamon, I don't even know if we have sound of this or not.
We do not.
But he came out, and a lot of these national shows.
That's why he's interim. No sound.
He only gets half the stuff. Right? He's only here half the time.
So Jaylen Brown came out, and he said that he's disappointed. Right? I'll give you his exact quote.
There you go. That's better.
He was asked about LeBron going over to the Western Conference. To be honest, I wanted him to stay. I was kind of mad. I wanted to be the team to go through him. I feel like we could have had it last year, but we fell a little bit short. But I applaud someone doing what's best for him. He did what's best for him in that situation, yada, yada, yada. I wanted him to stay in the East. People say, I don't like when people say, now that LeBron's gone, y'all are the favorite. That irks me. Of course it does. That I think he's telling the truth. A lot of us, we feel the same because we feel that whether he was there or wasn't there, we was coming out. I'm just reading his quote.
Sure
we was coming out. What's that?
See,
we.
I can't see it. From
we there. Was coming. There it is.
Okay, so I do believe him because I think there is. First of all, I think he's cut differently than most guys. I think the more he grows as a player and matures. And the more confidence he gets, you're going to see more of just his personality, his point of view.
I agree with that.
I like that in him.
Smart kid. Yeah. I think he, you know.
Yeah, I do. I believe him.
So
right?
So smart that he can BS people.
No, but see, at this point, I do think there's a different way of looking at this. And I think he believes that what people will say is, oh, well, you know, you went to the NBA Finals. So you didn't go through anybody. LeBron James wasn't even there. Oh, I mean, a real, real difficult challenge. Big deal. So they're going to devalue it. They're going to devalue the accomplishment. They're going to devalue the journey and just everything that they overcame. And then, you know, because there's no big bully, you know, challenging you. With LeBron, yes, it does mean something. It means a lot more if you go through great teams. Now, if they go to the finals and they beat Golden State or Houston or whoever's in the West, then okay, then there's your validation. But if you go through the East and then you get to the NBA Finals, and it's like, well, you know, you're supposed to go there anyways. I mean, who was there to stop you? No one's even challenging you guys. You have a free pass. Go ahead. So I think he realizes that that's a real thing. And you know, the way people dissect the NBA, that is, oh, look at the West. Look at all these great teams in the West. Of course you went, Jaylen Brown. You're supposed to go. LeBron wasn't even there. Ooh, big accomplishment. That's what's going to happen.
But that is the result of him going over, LeBron going to the Western Conference. It's no different than what Danny Ainge said. So Danny Ainge is looking at it, and Ainge is, I'm sure, privately is sitting there going, oh, this is great for us. This gives us a better shot. But he can't say that because if he does, then suddenly any accomplishment that's not winning the East is a major disappointment for the Boston Celtics, and they look like fools if they don't get there now that LeBron's down there, and suppose they get knocked out in, like, the second round. It doesn't make any sense for any
I'll
of them
you what, I'll
to
it,
sit there and say, it's the greatest thing that ever happened to us. LeBron's in the Western Conference, and we have an easier trip. Let me ask you, though. Do they have an easier shot of getting now to the NBA Finals with LeBron in the Western Conference?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
That's a good thing.
Okay. So that's what this is.
And there are other teams in the East that are getting paid, that are being run by general managers and owners. I mean, there are other guys getting paid in the East.
But Jaylen Brown did not say that. He did not say we have a better chance. No, he's saying he's disappointed. He does not like this.
But this is not a good thing.
And Danny's saying the same thing.
So I'll put it in I'll tell it a different way. So, like, if Reggie White got sick and I didn't have to play against Reggie White or Michael Strahan or whoever, like, I was happy as hell. You mean I don't have to prep for this guy who's probably going to win, you know, 75 to 80% of the plays that go his way? He's going to win.
Right.
Okay. But then I got to a point where I was like, you know what? It's almost like facing your demons. In order for me to get credit, like, and be, you know, evaluated like the best in the business, you have to have some pushback.
Boy, you are.
You have to have, and initially in the first, well, it's just the evolution of a player. Initially, like, oh, I want the crappy players. I want the championships.
Well, you are pumping out the BS so
no,
badly
No, that's a real
today.
Thing. No,
that's
it is.
Not
it
real.
Is. You want me to lie? I don't lie on the show. You get real. real Fourier. You get the authentic guy, not this fake blowhard like you are. But what you get out of your mouth is wishy-washy, waffling,
sometimes
back and forth. You never know.
Like,
you still haven't picked
sides.
A side yet.
Like,
but no,
to,
I would
I like
say
to please people. I'm like
that
you.
Is that no. is. See, it's interesting that he chose the word disappointed.
Right.
Okay. I would say in the short
He's
term,
not disappointed.
I would say in the short term, yeah, you're going to get there. You're going to get there, but you're going to be judged. This is what they do in the NBA. They judge your championships, whether it was a good run or a bad run. Like Golden State, three out of the last champs out of the last 4 years. All right, who's challenged them?
Christian, if this team next season gets to the NBA Finals and they take the Golden State Warriors to 6 or 7, because the perception will be that they will be toast in 4 the way this last Cleveland Cavalier team was. If they can go deeper into the playoffs, they will get all of the accolades in the world, and nobody will give a rat's ass whether LeBron was on their schedule on route to Golden State or whether he wasn't. This is politically correct crap. Danny Ainge knows he's got to play it down the line because Toronto, Philadelphia, these people will use it as motivation all season long. It'll be bulletin board material. You know what Ainge said? As the Greek freak is telling his teammates, yeah, Danny Ainge said that they're happy, ecstatic now that LeBron's out of the conference. What do we think about that? He knows that, and he's playing it politically correct. Jaylen Brown's doing the exact same thing. He's playing it politically correct. Inside, internally, they're ecstatic. Not disappointed.
So this is a good thing. So him saying, what's wrong with saying, oh, my God, I'm so happy he's gone. He was a disaster. That's not tough guys. Don't do that. Tough guys want the challenge. Oh God, he's a tough guy.
What
he's a tough
know,
Cal
what
guy.
What would you know about
he's
tough
a,
guys?
He went to Cal. He's tough.
Yeah, Southern California.
Like, he was there for 7 months.
Yeah. Oh, please, Southern Cal. All right, 617-779-7937. That is our phone number. Christian's in the house. Lou's got the week off, though. He'll be with us at the golf course tomorrow. We'll be at Pine Hills in Plymouth. 617-779-7937. Back to the phone calls next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.